from Dodger Stadium. The last game of the year at Dodger Stadium will be right around 5:08, and I think everybody knows by now this series is going back to Toronto on Friday, and maybe we're going to end up with a seven-game series culminating on Saturday. We'll have all the action for you between 7:90 and 14:30, but tonight it will be 14:30. I'll tell you about the schedule for today and the rest of the week for both 1430 and our sister station, the new 790, a little bit later on, courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his great business, Precision Civil Engineering. Again, planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management, it's all there under one roof. 449-4500 or precisioneng.net or precisioneng.net if you prefer. Want to make sure you know how to spell it if you want to get to the website for more information. I'll tell you about what Ed does for his alma mater, Fresno State, in the way of fundraising, specifically the Lyles College of Engineering there on campus, a little bit later on when we go over the schedule. It is a basketball Wednesday. It'll be that way from now all the way into March. And Jack Furtick will be with me momentarily, and we'll go over things for Fresno State. And also I'll touch upon Jim's email about Paul George. And I do want to ask Jack about Sankey's comments, the SEC commissioner, regarding the fact that the NCAA, as we brought up last week, as of Saturday coming up, is, unless they change things, going to approve the ability for college athletes to bet on professional sports. Now, we had this issue come up with Zion Collins already, and Sankey and the SEC guys are right now asking the NCAA not to do this. We'll see about that. I'll talk to Jack about it in just a couple of minutes. But first, as always, our other lead dogs want to spend some time with you. Certainly the folks at KFC want to remind you, and I'm talking about the local operators in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman, that they have the throwback for the late 90s on board right now as the original barbecue, the honey barbecue sauce, the honey barbecue flavor on everything right now. So popular back in the 90s, and for a limited time, it's once again back on the menu at KFC, on the chicken sandwiches, the tenders, and of course those crispy golden pieces you know and love. The 2, 3, 4-piece meals are on sale. This being a Wednesday, you also have the country fried steak meal for $5.99. We keep bringing up the Tuesday offering, long-standing offer, which is a $10 8-piece bucket or tenders. Great opportunities to stop in at the KFCs for whatever you might want, sandwiches, tenders, or the 2, 3, or 4-piece meals, everything with original honey barbecue flavoring on it. It's a great opportunity for you, and stop by those local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. Pick up a bucket or two or a sandwich, whatever you might want. Tell them thanks for supporting athletics throughout the valley. And as always, KFC is what it always has been, finger-licking good, and we thank them for their sponsorship each and every day. The other reminders, weather-wise, Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. Allow me the time every day to tell you about the weather. Great local people. Lee's has been in the Central Valley in NorCal since 1981. You see the avocado green and blue trucks all over the place. I've had them in to do work even during COVID. Really professional people, very competitive pricing, and they're there in a big hurry. If you need them, give them a call, 825-5337, which is 825-LEES, or leesair.com on the web. They also sponsor the Lee's Air Hotline, which is 559-320-1430. That's how Jack Furtick will arrive on the show in just a moment, and how Phil not only brings up his guests, but also callers from the general public. So again, mark that down, the Lee's Air Hotline, 559-320-1430. As far as the forecast goes, it's another glorious 7 days as we roll into November. Of course, we have Halloween coming up tomorrow. November starts on Saturday. Changing of the clocks takes place at 2 o'clock in the morning on Sunday, and the weather is what we usually see here at this time of year, which is the best time in the valley and has been forever weather-wise. 79 today, the low at 52. There were fog warnings this morning, so be careful about that. As long as the dew point stays up a little bit, we're in the 50s. With our temperatures, we're going to be okay, but when we arrive in the mid-40s for both the dew point and for the ambient temperature, that's when we have a problem. But in the outlying areas, it's still problematic at the moment, so be careful. But a 79 today, an 81 tomorrow, 78 on Friday, 79 Saturday, 76 Sunday, and then 78, 78 for Monday and Tuesday. And the lows will be up as high as 59. I started to mention it as far as Tuesday is concerned. So it's a really great week. The one thing that is not there, precipitation, and we'll see if that changes at all. There might be some opportunities north or maybe in the upper reaches, but for us in the Valley floor, it looks like another 7 days without rain. We'll see what that means if we end up in the summer or the spring in particular without the kind of rain we need right now. Hopefully it's going to arrive at the right time. Anyway, thanks to Lee's for allowing us the time. Again, leesair.com, 825-5337, 825-Lee's. The other reminder comes courtesy of our longtime friend and outstanding businessman and also another one of the benefactors at Fresno State, and that is Joe Cruz, who tells us every day, remind folks how to donate to Fresno State. We will do that momentarily, but first I want to tell you about Joe's business, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, celebrating its 25th anniversary in town. Joe has been a booster at Fresno State for over three decades. Right now, if you stop by 4529 North Marty Avenue, Suite 103, or give Joe or Gabe, who works for Joe, a call at 266-7473, which is 266-PIPE, or go to the web for more information at SuperiorPipeUSA.com, or Gabe has a direct email, gabe.sps@gmail.com. Find out about the pipe fittings, the valves, the sanitary fittings, the food grade and chemical hoses, the suction hoses, everything there under one roof. If you are someone who is working in an industrial sense around a plant, a maintenance purser, a person, a chemical individual in regard to your business relying upon valves for anything you might have in the way of delivery or research or whatever it might be, these are the guys to see, because if a valve goes down, you find yourself in a situation where your business can take a monster hit. If you're at a dairy, for instance, and you're relying upon valves and they go down, everything shuts down. So what Joe can do and Gabe can do for you, if you have a problem, they can analyze it, give you a same-day estimate, and then start the service right away, so that if you're starting to take on those problems, they can cut that off at the pass, or if it's already become catastrophic, they can get you up and running. It's very important to you, and Joe is somebody who knows how to sit down with you face-to-face and explain what he can do for you. And at that point, if you have a little bit of time after he addresses your issues, he would like to tell you what you can do for Fresno State the way he has now, as I mentioned, for over three decades. The best way right now is to go to the main website at GoBulldogs.com. There are different links there. The donate link is right at the top. You can't miss it. Click on that. It'll take you to different areas of donation. The BulldogFoundation.org link is there. They're celebrating their 75th anniversary right now. They've got Club Red under that particular header, and benefits and brochure information is there. Everything for the BDF is there. And then under major giving societies, they have the Green Bee Society and the Myers Champion Circle there. And under ways to give, you have the methods of support, so you can delineate exactly what you need right in front of you. And it'll take you to sports clubs, the Valley Co-op, all those things where you have an opportunity to benefit Fresno State. We talk about NIL all the time. We know that it's a separate issue, but one that is under the aegis of the university right now. And, you know, we were talking the other day about the amount of money that San Diego State is able to bring in, and it's one of the reasons that the Aztecs turned a 3-9 season of last year into a very successful run right now. Just discussing yesterday with Jackson about what Fresno State is going to do in the way of retaining players in addition to acquiring them. And right now it takes money, and that money is evidently, or this Valley, going to have to come from a grassroots effort, because it just isn't there corporate-wise the way it is in San Diego or other places. So it's part of the fabric of this Valley to step up big time and have to do it if Fresno State is going to be competitive. And then finally, when we talk about sports clubs, again, you can make sure your money goes directly to an individual sport, quarterback club, for instance, for football. Jack with me in just a second to talk about men's basketball. He's in the board of directors, timeout club for men's basketball. Love to have more members. He said call him directly on his cell, 559-287-3305, or hit him up on his email, ferdigjack@AOL.com. Also links for other men's and women's sports there, under sports clubs, including Dugout Club for baseball and a lot of the women's sports as well. And then finally, there's one other link there. You click on it. It is the link that says more. It'll give you information for tickets and parking and all events on campus. And want to remind you one more time as we roll in to next week, into November, Fresno State and Fresno Pacific will play at SMC on Monday. We will have the Fresno Pacific broadcast of that game. And Jack and I are going to talk about Bulldog basketball, as a matter of fact, right now, because he's ready to go, and we are ready after thanking Joe Crew, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering, the local operators at KFC and Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman, and everybody at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. That having been said, let's turn to our longtime friend and longtime basketball analyst. It is Jack Furtick. Jack, how you doing?
Doing well, Tony. Getting ready for the season. Looking forward to it.
Always good talking to you. And like I said, a variety of issues today. I want to start real quickly with Jim's email about Paul George, because we talked about this, and we've had this conversation on air a lot about our right now current day Mount Rushmore of Fresno State athletes, and we were wondering which one was going to get a title first. Aaron Judge, of course, right there. Derek Carr was on that list. We'll see. I don't think Derek is done yet. He's just right now, I think, is taking a breather, but he's still waiting for his first title. Certainly Paul George waiting. Devontae Adams appeared to have the best chance, and he may very well turn out to be the guy who hoists the trophy at the end of the year. But suddenly, Jack, after writing off the Sixers, and I know it's a long way from here to there, meaning until April when we start the real season, the playoffs, but the Sixers are 4-0. Paul George, again, dealing with physical issues. We had talked so much about when he came over there that he and Joel Embiid were supposed to lead the way. Embiid is playing, but limited minutes. But now it's Edgecombe and Maxey that are driving things forward. So if I were to ask you right now, and then again, it's a long way until we decide this thing in June, do you think Paul George has a legitimate chance, Jim asks in the email, to actually hoist the trophy this year? Or is that asking way too much, particularly how tough the West is going to be, no matter who comes out of the East?
Well, I mean, it all depends on health. I think it depends on health for every team. You know, you notice Oklahoma City won last year. They were completely healthy at the end of the year. It's pretty, you know, that's a pretty good barometer. The 76ers have a great roster in terms of talent, but are those guys going to be healthy? I mean, Joel Embiid said he's really upset about a minutes restriction, but he understands. Well, yeah, I mean, you know, what is it, the greatest indicator of future behavior is past performance. And look at his past performance. And actually, same thing with Paul George. It's not an easy game to play anymore. Much more athletic, much more physical, and maybe not, you know, guarding the ball as it used to be, but physical in terms of taking the ball to the basket. I would say seldom does a guy make a layup where he doesn't hit the floor, unless it's a breakaway. Usually guys are in there. I mean, Ja Morant hits the floor more than anybody. But usually guys are taking shots inside, and then they're, next thing you know, they're on their back. I mean, it's a tough game. Guys are bigger. Guys are stronger. Guys are more athletic. I mean, you know, we used to throw a party if Will Chamberlain made a free throw. Now you have Victor Wembanyama, who's, you know, half a foot taller than he is, and he's making threes.
Well, I'll tell you this, Jack, along those lines, and it's something we'll get into in the weeks to come, Michael Jordan with NBC now, of course, had a game last night, had the Warriors and the Clippers, the East Coast saw the Knicks and the Bucks. But Michael Jordan has agreed to do a sit-down with Mike Tirico. He already did it, and they're playing excerpts every week. And Michael was on last night, and he was talking about load management and how he felt as though it was unnecessary and that it wasn't there in his day. And what was interesting about it, Jack, was, first of all, the game was much more reckless in the way it was played physically, but it was not played at the pace that it's played at right now.
Right.
So guys did not find themselves being worn out the way, I mean, you know, you watch a game right now and it is non-stop. I mean, even the teams that are supposed to be ISO teams are still out kicking to threes, which creates, as you know, fast breaks in both directions. It is a real difficult situation to try to manage a team, like we've said, with the veteran clubs, where do you keep them in bubble wrap this time of year, particularly in the West, for instance. The Sixers might get away with it in the East, and I hope they do. In the West, if you decide as a veteran team to rest people, you may be resting yourself into the play-in round instead of the best 4-7. And with teams like Portland and Utah and obviously San Antonio getting a lot better, Jack, you are begging to maybe not even make that top 10, right? So you have to play your guys. So you're going to have a balancing act the whole time. And in Philly, they have young talent, but older legs are probably the ones that are going to decide this thing if they're healthy or not. And you're right. It applies to, what, maybe half the NBA, for goodness sake?
Well, yeah, you're not talking about the Warriors and the Lakers when you talk about old teams, right?
Of course not. No, naturally.
I mean,
No, you and I are spring chickens the way things are going. And well, look, the Warriors are gonna be really great in the Emirates Cup. We'll see how healthy they are in April. If they're healthy in April, look out. But I'm gonna right now. You want to put money down, Jack? I'm gonna tell you right now. There's no way that veteran club that the Warriors have. I had a laugh the other night. You have Kuminga in with four Hall of Famers around it. And I'm thinking when we get to April, those four may be on the IR. Well, he's the only one playing, okay?
Well, yeah. Let me clarify this thing. The game was more physical back then. But in terms of athleticism now, I mean, the game, to push it to a limit, the game was dirtier back then. You had guys like Lambeer.
That's a fair way to put
Who really didn't have athletic ability, but he would just, you know, knock you on your butt as soon as look at you. And then go all the way back to Jim Luskatov with the Celtics, you know, when everybody had an enforcer, they called him. Him or Charles Oakley. You know, you had guys, if somebody hit one guy, it was almost like in baseball where you hit a guy and the next inning you have to hit, you know, one of their guys. Well, that was the same thing in basketball, except you didn't hit him with a ball. You hit him with your body. And it was, for lack of a better term, dirtier. But now it's so much more athletic. And the guys are, I mean, guys dunked before. Dr. J, Michael Jordan. Not now. I mean, guys are doing dunk contests during the game. Guys are throwing the ball, you know, going up, throwing it between their legs and dunking on breakaways. It's much more athletic now, and it's so much harder. Like you said, the pace is greater, so there are more possessions. I mean, think about it. When Wilt and Bill Russell played, there were games when guys got 50 rebounds. How do you get 50 rebounds in a game? Yeah, I mean, come on. But, you know, it happened. Now guys are getting, you know, 20 rebounds and, you know, you want to put them in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. Paul George, to be determined, Jim, to answer your question, pulling for him, said, I wish he would have had his chance with the Warriors two or three times, didn't get it. Maybe it'll work out in Philly, but I'm with you. Whoever's healthy of that upper echelon, they're going to win it. And if OKC is healthy, everybody else is playing for second place. But we'll see what happens when we get to the playoffs, which is a long, long way off. Jack, along those lines, I want to ask you about Fresno State, the scrimmage that they had against Santa Barbara, and they gave up 120. But you found out the reason for that. And keep in mind, Santa Barbara traditionally is not going to play up and down like that. Vance was trying out the press, and the Bulldogs clearly don't have the depth right now or the coordination to do it. So we had a breakneck, 120 to 100 game, which was not something we would see in the regular season if these two teams played, correct?
Oh, no, I think the scrimmages, what these scrimmages are for is it used to be all you did was play against yourself. And, you know, it got to the point where guys just wanted to play against somebody else. So the NCAA came out and said, okay, you can have these scrimmages. Then they were closed scrimmages. Now you're allowed to open them up and even charge money. But I think it has to go to a charity. It can't be on your season ticket. It
right.
doesn't count on your record. So these games are, you know, it's tough to decide if you're going your number one against your number two and your number one is just killing them. You know, are you really good or is your number two that bad? Now you can go against another team and you're going to try things out. This is what you want to do. You want to try different combinations of players. You want to try it. I mean, Vance loves the press. Everybody knows that. So he wants to try the press. But he even told me that, you know, some of his guys aren't athletic enough at this level, at the college
right.
level, to full court press. Now, they couldn't press Cal Poly because that was a game where as soon as the opponent made a shot, the coach was yelling, go. And the guys were just running, taking it out, throwing it in, taking off, and you couldn't press. Now, when they could, on, let's say, made free throws, that's part of the reason that the game turned around. That and the fact that, you know, Jake Heidbreder made five threes in a row at the beginning of the second half. But they couldn't really press that game, and Vance wanted to see, you know, why am I going to do this in a game that counts if I don't know if it's going to work or not? So he tried it against UCSB, which is always, one of the two or three best teams in the Big West, been to the tournament many times. So, they tried it, and obviously if you put up 120, you must be giving up a lot of easy shots at the other end.
Well, again, as we try to pass judgment on this team, and someone asked you about, you want to play peer group teams, if possible, in the non-conference year, but in order to get teams in to your place, which has that financial aspect to it, it's not always easy to get your peer group in, so you find yourself playing above maybe some of your competition. And then at times you go on the road, for instance, to play Arkansas and Little Rock, and you're playing to somebody else's competition level that's above yours. So, Jack, can we really realistically, let's leave the scrimmages aside, can we really pass judgment on anything we see, good, bad, or indifferent from this team during the non-conference year? Is it all about waiting until we finally start at the end of December in conference, or do you have some things that you say, if this doesn't happen, irrespective of the competition, there's something that's going to be very, very difficult when we get in to conference play? What's your take on this?
Well, like you said, the first seven games are at home, and they are against teams that are from lesser conferences. So teams you would think you should beat or you're going to be favored against anyway. You know, if you don't, if you come out 4-3, you're going to be in trouble. So, I think what judgment you can pass now is you've seen guys can make threes. That's going to be the style. I doubt you're not going to see full court press for 40 minutes. You are going to see it here and there, and you're going to see it with a different combination of players because, like I said last week, Vance has some guys who are great shooters but not particularly athletic, and he has guys who are really athletic who aren't particularly great shooters. So when you put those guys in, you know, let's say, you know, your guy Nathan, Zulami and Deshaun Gorey, and maybe DJ Strickland. You got three really athletic guys. You can get after it then. But you want to shoot threes, and it's not like, it's not like the old women's basketball where you had offensive players at one end, defensive players at the other end, and a little roamer.
That's right. The old Iowa six-person teams, right. You, three, yeah, and oh, the court put him back. You couldn't cross the timeline, right? Yeah, exactly.
Right. Our guys would be great for that. I mean, you know, it would be terrific. But it's not like that. Now, I do think probably what you're going to see that Vance has done in the past are the hockey line changes, where he might be putting in four and five guys, you know, at a time just to get the pace of the game going. And, you know, you have guys who are fresh. So your let's say, first five are trying not only to score, but they're trying maybe a little to wear out the other team, and then put in five new guys and get those guys, you know, or playing at a higher intensity level because they're fresh to see what happens. Vance has always done that. So I think that's we can see that. Like I said, I don't think we're going to see 40 minutes of full court pressure. But, you know, the only way you can tell is when you start the season. You know, do guys shoot? Are they, you know, when the lights are on, can, you know, are they shooters as well as, they talk about guys, you know, who can shoot at 3 o'clock but can't shoot at 7.
Right.
And most of the games are at 7. So, you know, that's what you're going to see, and that's why I think they have that schedule that they have. So they can figure it out, see if they can, you know, go whatever, 6-1, 7-0, go to Arkansas and have some confidence. You got to have a team. When you're coming off the season we had last year, you got to get guys have to get gain some confidence. You can't do that. Hey, who knows? You know what's going to happen. I mean, you know, you look at the mentality of guys. Look at the Toronto Blue Jays had that. That was a gut punch when they lost that 18 inning game, and yet they come back and they're terrific yesterday. You know, I mean, that's what you need. You have to be able to flush the bad ones, and you got to be able to play the next one. You know, you can. Justin Hudson always used to talk about next play, you know, next possession. And you play it one at a time. Same as golf. You know, when you see a guy hit a bad shot in golf, these pros are miraculous getting out of nasty situations because they play one shot at a time. You can't let a bad one affect another one. And that's what I think the schedule allows for, because basketball is a game of mistakes. Nobody who's played a half an hour hasn't turned the ball over or missed a shot or fouled somebody. But you want to try to limit your mistakes, and you want to try to make the other team mistake prone. So because they're mistakes, you're going to have to adjust when you make a mistake and not let it turn into – I used to tell guys, make one mistake at a time. You know, I mean, don't miss a shot and run in and foul a rebounder. You know, you missed a shot, you missed it. It's never going to be a make. You'll make your next one. But don't run in and compound the problem, you know, by fouling. And that's what, you know, the great ones can do. You ask any shooter. You ask Curry. Curry's had some really bad games. And you ask him, how do you feel? He says, I feel like the next one's going in. You know, I'm due. That's the way players are.
To that end, he had a critically important playoff game in Houston where he 0-for the first half and came back and scored 33 in the second half. Now, there's two things about that. One, you have to have, as you and I have talked, selective amnesia. You have to have professional arrogance that you believe, no matter what has happened prior, the next one's going in. But the other thing you need, and I've mentioned this to you before, you need teammates. Forget the coaching at this particular time, and I don't mean that to be irrelevant. I mean the coach is not on the floor with you. There are four other guys staring at you, and if you are a guy that they want to shoot the ball, that is critically important, Jack, that if you are having one of those bricklayer nights, that your teammates know it's an aberration and they still want you to shoot it, because one of the toughest things to have that selective amnesia is if your teammates are looking at you at the side of the eyes and saying, you know what, quit shooting the bleeping thing, okay? And that's why it's going to be interesting to see guys like Eidbreder, guys like that. Are they going to have teammates that are going to say, Jake, keep shooting, keep shooting, keep shooting? Because you know Vance is going to say it, right? But you know on the court, Jack, you have to know the four guys with you. Because that's the thing that Curry has going for him. Everybody is not only setting picks, so that he gets open. They want him to shoot the thing, and they don't care if he's 0 for 8. They assume the next 8 are going in. And I'm waiting to see how this plays out with this Fresno State team, because I have a hunch that we are going to see a lot of games of huge streaks. You know, the Warriors last night had the perfect Warrior example game I've told you about. You know this. At some point, every time the Warriors play a game, they're going to be up 15, and they're going to be down damn near the same amount at some point during the game, okay? And then they're going to come back and either win it going away again, or they're going to lose it at the buzzer, but they'll always let a team back in, and then they'll always come back again. I think we're going to see that with Fresno State. It's going to be entertaining if you're dispassionate, and it's going to drive you nuts if you're a coach, right? Because we're going to see them go on big streaks, and they're probably going to give up big streaks the other way, Jack, because when the shots don't go down from three, you know exactly what happens on the other end, right?
Sure, and that's the reason the game is so much better and more entertaining now, is the three can really keep you in the game, and it can shoot you out of the game. But
yep,
you're never down so much that you can't come back by making some threes, especially if you string a few. And even if you're giving up twos at the other end, you know, if you make three threes and they make three twos, that's pretty good. So I think that's what the whole philosophy is behind Vance's system, is we're gonna give up some shots. We'll give up some shots, but we think that we can make enough open shots. All we have to do is make sure we can create those open shots for our shooters. And, you know, like you said with Curry, not only did Curry say, I think the next one's going in, but, you know, when they asked Draymond Green in that game against Houston when he rode for the first half, how'd you feel? He said, we're going to go to Curry. He's our guy. I don't care what he did. They have selective amnesia on their own guy, on their own player. Forget themselves, because they know if they're going to win, he's going to be one of the reasons. They seldom win a game where he's less than average or less than Curry performance. They're not going to win too many games, let's say, if he's in single figures. So I think that's going to be the same thing with Jake here. Jake is the face of the program. He's 23 years old, so he's the oldest guy. He's certainly one of the older guys. I think a lot of them call him uncle because he's that much
he's
older.
Young.
Than.
Okay.
Yeah.
The old uncle,
you know,
old again. Yep.
He's 18. These guys are 18, you know, and he's been around. I mean, he's played in the Mountain West. He's played in the ACC. And then, you know, you're playing non-conference games in both leagues where you know what it's like. And I think he's a guy that I think they're going to continue to look to, because every day in practice, it's just a marvel when you watch him. I told you that one time he made 96 out of 100 and 78 in a row. Now, if you're on his team and you're looking over, and he's making 78 in a row in practice, I mean, just shooting open threes, you got to look over and say, you know what? I think I'm a good shooter, but I don't think I could do that. I think maybe he's the guy, if we need a basket, that we should go to. Now, you know, you're going to have teams game plan against him, so other guys are going to have to come through. But at least with he and Douglas and, you know, the other shooters, Foss, you know, the guys who can shoot, they're going to open the floor some, and then the big guys like Jocks can you know, score inside. And he has very nice moves inside, although he's going to play, you know, beneath the basket. He's not, as Don DeVoe used to call him, Leap and Lena. He's going to play, but he has great footwork, and he has good hands, and he's a good passer. So now you're talking about an inside-outside game, which should be effective as long as you defend at the other end. And right, that seems to be a problem. I mean, you know, you gave up 120 to UCSB and 87 to Cal Poly, 51 in the first half. So, you know, we'll see. But, I mean, that's what the scrimmages are for. The scrimmages are for, you know, experiments. They're not going on your record. Let's see what we can do. And I'm sure that when Vance came back, he felt like, you know what, maybe pressing the whole game is not going to work, especially with the combination of guys that we have.
Well, also, it takes so many years to get that coordination. And as we've talked, you're almost starting over again every year now.
Sure.
It is the reality
right.
of, as we've said, Vance in 2005, he would have gotten the opportunity, would have been different than now. We'll see how it plays out. But I am with you, Jack, that if they win a bunch of these non-conference games at home, don't get overly excited about it. If for some reason they are struggling against teams they should beat, then yes, you do have to have a level of concern, unless what's happening is they're getting leads and then working on things that are allowing teams back in, still winning, but not winning by an impressive margin because they decided to do some different things. You'd have to watch the full 40 to know about that, and we'll get a chance, of course, with three home games coming up in the next week, including Monday. So stay tuned for that. I want to ask you in the last 3 or 4 minutes, though, about Sankey's comments, Jack, because, you know, I had brought it up to Brian Panish in regard to the Rozier, Chauncey Billups stuff, that I really felt that having individual prop bets as opposed to just team bets, you are asking for trouble. And it's something you and I will talk about in weeks to come, because I am convinced that if you get rid of the individual prop bets, then the motivation to deliberately pull yourself out of a game or not rebound or whatever, that goes out the window. The point spread's a different issue. It's much harder to manipulate that. We'll save that one. But I do want to ask you about Sankey's comments, because I happen to agree with him, saying that he would implore the NCAA to not, beginning November 1, which is Saturday, to not allow the agreed-upon ability of college athletes to bet on pro sports. Now, look, Jack, I'm aware it's personal freedom. I get it. But I also know that you're really begging for somebody to get involved over their head with that, and that could affect then somebody coming up to them saying, you know what, I'll tell you how you can make break even by cooperating with us. And I feel that that's legit. I know why the NCAA is doing it, because they feel like the courts will once again kick them in the nads if they don't. But from your viewpoint, if you're coaching, how much are you going to cringe about this being legalized?
Oh, you don't want to. I mean, Terry Rozier was making prop bets on himself, and the guy's making $25 million a year. Now, that guy...
But it had an $8 million tax lien at the same time, Jack. So
Now, what do you think kids are doing? Especially now, you got to remember, these are not college kids when we were in college. These are college kids who have NIL money. And some of these guys think, you know what, I got, you know, $30,000. I can certainly take 10,000 of it and gamble and turn that into another 30,000, because look how easy it is. You don't want to do it. I mean, you know, people were, you know, we're old enough to remember CCNY, and most of the people in Fresno are old enough to remember the point shaving scandal, which, you know, wasn't proven, but I have my own feelings about it. But it's, you know, if you at least take away the prop bets, I mean, prop bets are way too easy to win. Look at the kid last year from Fresno State who bets himself under whatever it was, 5 rebounds. I could easily not get 5 rebounds in a game. Anybody can do that. You know, I mean, and if you're, you know, if the ball keeps bouncing to you, then you pull a Terry Rozier and say you have a sprained ankle and take yourself out of the game. You can't allow prop bets. And you shouldn't allow betting on anything except for the fact that it's so prevalent. There are so many commercials for it. ESPN not only has their own app, they have a show about who's right. going to cover and who's not, and here's who I think you should bet, and here are the parlays you should put together. I mean, you know, with all of that, come on, it's, you know, kids are going to, athletes are going to watch athletic events, and they're going to have their ideas on it. You know, I mean, I've heard people say, well, you know, Blake Snell got beat first game, but that's because he had so much time off. Now he's in his regular rhythm. Where do you see him tonight? Well, right. You know, now, if somebody says that, oh, yeah, you're right, I think I'm going to put down some money on that. The number one rule in gambling is don't bet more than you can afford to lose. That's why Charles Barkley will lose $500,000 every time he goes to Vegas. Because to him, it's entertainment, and he can afford to lose it. But, you know, and I'll tell you this, don't even think it. Chauncey Billups getting in with the mob, forget money. Now you're talking about, you're not talking about livelihood as much as you're talking about life.
Well, you're sleeping with the fishes if you're not careful when you get involved with that. And that, like we said, that's probably a major motion picture in the wings when they finally sort that out, and that is a different issue.
Yep.
Jack, we're out of time. It's to be continued, but I do want to mention this, and this is my strong feeling about it. There's nothing wrong with gambling if you can afford it. We talk about it on occasion on the show. But from a college athlete's perspective, if you ever had a class with a student athlete, a basketball player, football player, whatever. Okay, you got 30 of you in the class or whatever. Okay, if all 30 of you are betting on professional sport and none of you are having success, the only person that the moneyed aristocracy, meaning those that like to manipulate things, are going to come and talk to is the one who can have impact on another venue within the confines of gambling. Meaning, if it's you, me, Jack, and some star player on the team, they're not coming to us because we lost money, right? Because they know we don't have it and we can't do anything about it. They're going to go to the athlete and say, you know what? You lost a lot of dough, and I'll tell you how you can get away from that financial burden. And again, how much in life, Jack, is access, right? We talk about it all the time. Yes, you'd love to think character would lead the way. Many times access will supersede character. And if you're somebody that they know they can go to and you can deliver quid pro quo what they want, they're going to be at your doorstep. And I think this is what, once again, the courts failed to recognize. And I think the NCAA is bowing to them one more time. And it's getting very irritating because you and I both know the courts have caused the NCAA to kneel and genuflect too many times already in the last couple of years. So that's just my take on it. Jack, as I let you go, again, for people that want to join the Timeout Club, you would love to see more members, correct?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we'd like to. We had a pretty good surge. Even at the end of the year last year, there were people who were saying, you know what, we're not giving up on you guys. We still love basketball. And then I think with I think there's a little more interest with Garrett Classy putting on the Selland Arena game. I know there are a lot of people talking about that, especially the older people who remember Selland Arena. And the young kids ought to go down and see what it was like. And I think that's, with all of that, there should be interest. And like I said before, this is the only team you got.
I'll tell you what. Again, both the men's and women's teams are very deserving of support. And one more time, 287-3305, call Jack directly or FertigJack@AOL.com. Jack, as usual, out of time too quickly. We'll reconvene next Wednesday, and we'll actually have a game on the docket to talk about. So we'll certainly be able to do that. Take care, my friend. Look forward to it.
Look forward to it. Yep. Thanks, Tony.
Okay. Jack Fertig, take a break. Come back. Talk about the schedule. Hand it off to Phil. He'll have an hour of his fine show, and then it's time for Game 5 of the World Series. Tell you about the schedule for both 1430 and 790 after this, as the Bulldog Hour continues on this Wednesday on Central Valley Sports Leader 1430 ESPN. Everybody, welcome back. 253. Just a couple minutes ago on the show, hand it off to Phil. His outstanding show behind the bench. Normally 3 to 6. 1 hour today because it's time for Game 5 of the World Series. Tell you about the schedule right now for both 1430 and 790, courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his outstanding business, Precision Civil Engineering, planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management. It's all there under one roof, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net for more information. Again, want to remind you about engineering yardage, things that Ed has done to benefit the Lyles College of Engineering on campus. Always a great benefactor for his alma mater, Fresno State, and for the Lyles College of Engineering. So many of those engineering graduates end up working for it at Precision. One more time, the goal, to unify athletics and academics to provide more funding resources to students. It's worked out beautifully. We commend Ed for everything he does for Fresno State and the Valley as a whole. As far as the lineup goes, again, 4 o'clock the pre, 5:08 the first pitch. We know it's going to go back to Toronto, the World Series. By the way, I think that, what was it, 11 straight reaches of base for Ohtani. That was finally broken last night. I think he got to 11, or was that his 11th opportunity after 9 the other night, but the Dodgers not able to close the deal. So they're going to have to go back to Toronto. They'd like to go back up 3-2, of course, although the Jays didn't let that get in their way against Seattle. We'll see what happens. But again, 4 o'clock to pre on 1430. Over on 790 tonight, Paul Meadows has his fine show, Sunbird Sports Show, all about Fresno Pacific Athletics. That's 6 to 7 on 790. Also, Paul has his fine show on Saturdays on 1430 from First String Sports. That's Central Valley Sports Report, 10 a.m. to noon on Saturday. Phil, normally with you 3 to 6 Monday through Friday with Behind the Bench, including Thursdays at Fashion Furniture with our good friend Rod Evedekian. Best furniture on the planet, nothing like it in all of California. Also, the fine conversation of Phil's show, some good eats as well. You can also reach Phil on the Lee's Air Hotline, which is 559-320-1430. Stop by El Paso, across from River Park. Check everything out at Fashion Furniture every day, but particularly Thursday when Phil is there. And on Thursday, of course, we start another NFL week, national games on Thursday, on Sunday night, on Monday, Major Wager Monday, me and Ed's Victory Grill, Granite Park, every Monday, 5 o'clock. Great time, Carter and the gang there. Terrific food, big screen TVs, great entertainment. Stop by me and Ed's Victory Grill, Granite Park, Cedar and Dakota, every Monday. We also have the 49er, Raider, and Ram games this weekend. Both the Rams and Raiders coming off of their byes. The 49ers are in New York. I know that Scataboo wanted to play against his beloved 49ers, but major injury with the fracture and the dislocation, and our hearts go out to him. Tough kid, and he deserved better right now, but 49ers have their own fife and drum problems. We'll see how their injuries play out on Sunday, but we have all those games for you coming up. Also, the Lakers and the Sharks are still very much front and center, and of course, we have high school this Friday, Friday Night Rivals. That will be Phil and Paul, and that will be the great matchup between Clovis West and Clovis at La Monica, 6:30 to pre, 7 o'clock will be the kickoff. Also reminds you, everything for the station, 1430 ESPN, Fresno.com. You find the live links and podcasts there. To reach me, tdad1@att.net, TDAD, the number 1@att.net. And finally, I want to remind everybody about our good friends at KFC in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. We appreciate their sponsorship, and they have right now for a limited time the throwback to the late 90s, as they have brought back the great and very popular honey barbecue flavoring for everything, chicken sandwiches, tenders, and, of course, those crispy golden pieces you know and love. Talking about 2-, 3-, and 4-piece meals. Also, on Wednesdays like today, you have the country fried steak offering for just $5.99, and on Tuesdays you still have the $10 8-piece bucket or tenders. Great deals at the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. Thanks again to everybody at KFC, to Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering, Joe Crew, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, and our good friends at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. Thanks, as always, to Jack Furtick. Please give him a call or hit him up on that email I've mentioned if you want to join the Timeout Club. And thanks to Jorge, who's playing hurt this week. Jorge, I really appreciate you jumping back in. We will talk to you guys with Jackson Moore tomorrow, all about Fresno State and Boise State. Stay tuned, as Phil is coming up for an hour, and then the World Series Game 5 on KFIG Fresno.